ಭುಜಂಗ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪಂಚತತ್ವ 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 ಜಯ ಪಂಚತತ್ವ ಜಯ ನರಸಿಂಹದೇವ್ ಜಯ ನರಸಿಂಹದೇವ್ ಜಯ ನರಸಿಂಹದೇವ್ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ 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 ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿಬೋಲ್ 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 ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿಬೋಲ್
ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವರ್ತಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಇಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಫೌಂಡರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಮತ್ವ ಗೌಡಿ ಸಂಪ್ರದಾಯ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ ಸಿ ಕಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನವದೀಪ್ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ್ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗಂಗಾ ಮಾಯಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಯಮುನಾ ಮಾಯಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಸಮವೇತ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅನ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ Canto 8, Chapter 20, titled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe, Verse 15. Dritham Pandita Mani Ajna Stabdosi Asmad Upekshaya Machya Sanati Goyastvam ಅಚಿರಾತ್ ಭ್ರಶ್ಯಸೆ ಸ್ತ್ರಿಯಃ ದೃಢಂ ಪಂಡಿತಮಾನಿ ಆಜ್ಞಾ ಸ್ತಬ್ಧೋಸಿ ಅಸ್ಮದ್ ಉಪೇಕ್ಷಯಾ
makcha sanati goyastvam achirat brashyase shriyah dridham panditamani ajna stabdosi asmat upekshaya makcha sanati goyastvam achirat brashyase shriya Vaishnavis. Dridham, so firmly convinced or fixed in your decision. Panditamani, considering yourself very learned. Ajna, at the same time foolish. Stabda, impudent. Asi, you have become. Asmat, of us. Upekshaya, by disregarding. Matsasana atiga, surpassing the jurisdiction of my administration. Such a person as you. Tvam, yourself. Achirat, very soon. Brashyase, will fall down. Sriya, from all opulence. Translation, please repeat. Although you have no knowledge, you have become a so-called learned person, and therefore you dare to be so impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says that Bali Maharaj was not Pandita Mani or one who falsely assumes himself learned. Rather, he was Pandita Manyajna, one who is so learned that all other learned persons worship him. And because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his so-called spiritual master. He had no fear of any condition of material existence. Anyone cared for by Lord Vishnu does not need to care about anyone else. Thus, Bali Maharaj could never be bereft of all opulences. The opulences offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not to be compared to the opulences obtained by Karma Kanda. In other words, if a devotee becomes very opulent, it is to be understood that his opulence is a gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence will never be vanquished, whereas the opulence achieved by one's fruitive activity may be vanquished at any moment. So last chapter, Sukracharya gives a whole list of reasons or circumstances under which a promise can be broken. For subduing others in a joking situation, if you are responding to danger, or if you are acting for the welfare of others, and similar such situations, one's promise can be broken. And he urges Bali Maharaj to break the promise he had given to Vamanadev based on these reasons. Till this point, Bali Maharaj was a very obedient disciple of Sukracharya, and as the result of it, he attained immense victory. If we rewind back a little further, we will see that after Mohini Murti administered nectar to the demigods, they became very strong. They not only defeated the demons, they actually killed them. They killed them all, including Bali Maharaj. So like in game of chess, you know, it's always you do one step, I do one step. So it was like a checkmate for the in favor of the demigods, that Bali Maharaj was killed. You know. But the table was turned around only by mercy of Sukracharya. He brought back, he revived and gave life to Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj was very deeply indebted to Sukracharya for that, because he gave him a new life, not just symbolically like an initiation, but like real, you know, he literally gave him a new life. So Bali Maharaj was very indebted to Sukracharya for that, and he followed all the instructions that Sukracharya gave him. And because of following the instructions of his guru, he attained a very glorious life. In fact, when he reached the heavenly planets, he occupied the throne of Indra without being challenged. Neither Indra or any of the demigods were there. Lord Vishnu instructed them not to hide but to become invisible. That's like being dead, you know. So the initial situation was Bali Maharaj was dead, and then because of the mercy of Sukracharya, the table turned around, and now Indra became almost like being dead. He became invisible. His mother was so much lamenting that she had to do payovrata to get back the opulence of her son. And when Lord Vishnu appeared before her, after she offered prayers, Lord Vishnu tells, I know what is in your heart. Do you want to see the wives of the demons lamenting over the dead body of their husband? You know, so much anguish she had because the whole scenario was toppled because of the instructions of Sukracharya. Everything changed in favor of Bali Maharaj. In spite of Vishnu coming to save the scene, Everything changed because Bali Maharaj was following the instructions of his master. Now we see that he has reached a point where he has promised Vamanadeva that he will give him whatever he wants. And Sukracharya is giving advice. So one would expect that Bali Maharaj, who has followed the instructions of his master till now, would naturally accept. You know, and all the reasons Sukracharya gave are all valid. You know, you can break your promise under these circumstances. And many of those circumstances were correct. And it would not have been wrong for Bali Maharaj to break the promise. And Sukracharya not only asked him to break the promise, he was also able to see what will happen if Bali Maharaj didn't break his promise. So even before the whole Vamanadeva pastime happened, Sukracharya explained to Bali Maharaj what will happen. If you don't break your promise and if you accept to give whatever this dwarf Brahmana wants, he is going to take a gigantic form and he is going to take everything away from you. So Bali Maharaj exactly knew what will happen if he continued and went ahead and fulfilled his promise. So in spite of knowing everything, at this point Bali Maharaj decides not to listen to his spiritual master. He is going to put himself in a situation where there will again be a checkmate. And in this time, it will be victory for Indra. He is fully aware that if he is going to fulfill his promise, he is going to lose the game. But why did Bali Maharaj not listen to his spiritual master? Why did he refuse? So, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8, Rishabhadev gives a condition where one can stop listening to one's authority. So the verse says, Guru na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. You cannot accept the position of being a guru or a father, mother, demigod, husband. You cannot accept those positions if you do not namo chayantya samupaitya mrityu. You do not deliver the person who is dependent on you. If you cannot deliver them from the birth and death condition, the situation where one has to repeatedly take birth, have a material body, if you cannot deliver your dependent from that condition, then you should not become an authority. It is a big responsibility. Being a parent, being somebody's husband, being somebody's guru or worshipable demigod, being in any authoritative position is a big responsibility. And if you cannot very truly preach to the dependent and deliver them from the clutches of material existence, you should not take position. And if somebody wants to be your authority but they do not guide you in that direction, then you are free to reject. That is the reason why Bali Maharaj rejected the instructions of his spiritual master. And the wives of the Brahmanas, they rejected their husband. In the purport, Prabhupada gives a list of different situations where actually there was this rejection happening. When they had to worship Krishna and the husbands were engaged in karmakandic activities, the wives rejected their husband. They just went ahead and served Krishna. Bharat Maharaj, when Kaikeyi told not to serve Lord Ram, you become the king, let Lord Ram go to forest, he rejected her. Mother, you can reject. Prahlad Maharaj had all respect for his father, but when he told him not to worship Vishnu, he rejected that instruction. So anybody who is stopping you from surrendering to Vishnu, you are free to reject that advice. You are free to reject that authority. So based on that idea, Bali Maharaj, in spite of having been given a new life by Sukracharya, in spite of having been given a situation where you could become the unopposed king of the heavenly planets. In spite of having been given so many opulence by his Guru Maharaj, he rejected this instruction that he should take back the promise or not follow the promise. So since Sukracharya failed, then Bali Maharaj had full right to reject him. Now we'll read the purport here again. And because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his spiritual master. He had no fear of any condition of material existence. Anyone cared for by Lord Vishnu does not need to care about anyone else. It may appear from this statement that once you get Vishnu, once you get Krishna, you don't have to actually care about anybody. You can even reject anyone, including your spiritual master. So it is very important that devotees maintain their academic and moral integrity in understanding exactly what Prabhupada says here. It's not that if anyone cared for by Vishnu does not need to care for anybody else. Here the anybody else Prabhupada mentions is the kind of karmakandi authority like Sukracharya, who just works for bringing some material opulence like some position or money or fame or power. But in reality, a disciple who has accepted a bona fide spiritual master, he has to follow the instructions of his spiritual master to the last dot. There is no question of not following the instructions of one's spiritual authority. Here Sukracharya is spelling out a curse. What will happen when you don't follow a karmakandi guide? You know, you will lose your opulence, you will go down to, you know, he will face the consequence. In spite of him being just a karmakandi authority, rejection of that authority gives some effect. You know, he will go down to hellish planet. But when you are rejecting the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, nobody needs to spell out what kind of curse will fall on you. And following the instruction of spiritual master, nobody needs to tell you what kind of good fortune will fall on you. You not only glorify yourself, but you glorify the whole parampara. Srila Prabhupada was not even initiated when he met his spiritual master. And the first time he met his spiritual master told him to go to the west and preach to the English-speaking world. Even though he was not even initiated, he took this instruction of his spiritual master very seriously. And because of that, we have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And because of that only, we are all sitting here in Shida Mayapur, enjoying the fruit of the austerities of Srila Prabhupada. I once heard on YouTube there was a lecture by Jananivas Prabhu, and he was describing how once in Bhajan Kutir, Gauranitai deities were there, Srila Prabhupada was there, and everything else surrounding was just paddy field. And Bhavanand Prabhu was very much concerned because Srila Prabhupada had just instructed that a spiritual city should be built here. So Bhavanand Prabhu was asking Srila Prabhupada, we are in a hut, we are surrounded by paddy fields. Where is the money for building a spiritual city? And Srila Prabhupada said, Bhavananda is always so anxious, you know, he is always anxious for money. And then Prabhupada said, you have here Sri Sri Radha Madhava. And Madhava means the husband of fortune. You just worship them nicely and everything will fall in place. And his disciples, they very seriously took that instruction and they have maintained a very wonderful standard of worship of Radha Madhava. Before, they used to go and get 2 pieces of sweets and they would cut it and make it into 6 pieces and use 1 piece in every offering. But now you can see what an opulent offering we have. You know, prasadam is so much that they even give it out to the visitors fruits and milk products and rice dal sabji from Chapan, so everything, you know, whole load, not just for Radha Madhava, for everybody who comes to Mayapur. So just by firmly having faith in instruction of Srila Prabhupada's instruction, but at worshipping the god, the husband of goddess of fortune, all opulence will come. We can see that we have created a beautiful city that's growing day by day. It's becoming more and more bigger and bigger, more and more devotees are coming. Yesterday when I went for Snan Yatra, I was amazed, you know, there were years when the Abhishek would be over by like 12:30, like that. But it was 12:30 and 1 o'clock, and then this line was going all the way to the main road, and people were standing, and it wasn't just visiting people from villages, it was our devotees, you know. So many devotees have come to live in Mayapur, so much opulence here. And all of that just simply by following the instruction of Prabhupada, that we will maintain the worship of Sri Sri Radha Madhava nicely. It is very difficult to follow the instructions of spiritual master. It was not very easy to build Mayapur as we see now. There were attacks on devotees, Radharani was stolen, Prabhupada was stolen, devotees were attacked, and the Gurukul teacher was hurt. They were put in jail for 1 month, and then they were, the devotees organized a Nagar Sankirtan, collecting all the villages, and they went to appeal to release the devotees. Maharaj, Bhakti Raga Maharaj lost his leg. So it's not like, it's not so easy. It's not, when you want to follow the instructions of spiritual master, it's very much possible that you will find yourself in a very difficult situation. But we should know that if following is difficult, not following the instructions, we might find ourselves in impossible situation, not just difficult situation. And as an institute, we have a great danger if we disobey or change any of the instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Just even one iota, just one drop. You know, if you have used a protractor, it's a mathematical instrument. It looks like a half circle, and it's used for measuring degrees. So if you measure 34 degrees and 35 degrees, at the meeting point, there's not even a space of mustard seed between them, 34 degrees and 35 degrees. Between 2 degrees, not even that much space is there. But if you stretch the line a little, they go like that. You know, so the distance becomes more and more and more. And if you would follow that 34 degree line for a million light years, and if I would follow the 35 degree line for a million light years, we will end up in two different universes. So what looks like a small change, a little change of instruction in the beginning, at the end, in the long run, we never know how it will change. So if and we have seen in history how changing the instructions of spiritual master can create big problem. When the crusade wars were happening, it was very convenient for the church to take out the idea of reincarnation. It was good, you know, when you just remove the concept of reincarnation and you have a whole load of warriors who are ready to go on crusade war. So they thought it's not a big deal, you know, what am I doing, I'm just, instead of saying many births, I'm just saying after death there's just one more time birth. You know, you'll rise up to the Lord on the judgment day. And it's not a big change, you know, they thought, okay, let's just stick to it, you know, not, we didn't do big change there. But over 1,500 years after that decision was made, today the church has come to a position where they can't defeat some simple demoniac concept like Darwinism, because they have totally negated the idea of evolution of consciousness. Now all they are left with is evolution of material body, and they don't have any philosophy. They made a conscious effort to dig and bury all those ideas that were taught by Jesus Christ, and now they are paying the price. So as devotees, we should learn from history that changing the instructions of spiritual master or not following the instructions of spiritual master is not an option. We are not vegetarians. We are Krishnatarians. Prabhupada says that we don't eat vegetarian food. We eat only what is offered to Krishna. So for the sake of preaching, let me just accept, you know, that we are vegetarian. No. That you never know that in long run what change, what challenge it might produce when you are not aware of the importance of following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada as it is. You know, so it may look like Sukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj to do something that is materially correct. But a materially correct thing may not be always spiritually correct. And whatever is spiritually correct will always be materially correct. So Bali Maharaj, in rejecting the instructions of Sukracharya, is actually acting on a much higher platform. Not just as a Karmakandi disciple following a Karmakandi guru, but as a very sincere disciple who is aspiring for spiritual. And Sukracharya is not, you know, it should not be projected like Sukracharya is some kind of very mundane person. He is also a very powerful personality. He knew exactly what was going to happen if Bali Maharaj did not withdraw his promise. So he had the potency to understand who is Lord Vishnu, what he is capable of, what is his plan, and how will it end for Bali Maharaj. So he is not an ordinary person. He had the potency. So where did things go wrong? Things went wrong when Sukracharya decided to change a little bit for the sake of keeping up his position as the high priest of the king of universe. That became little bit more important than instructing his disciple to surrender to Vishnu. When that small change happened, because of that, he lost the respect of Bali Maharaj. Whatever position he had in eyes of Bali Maharaj, he lost that. And anybody who tries to change the instructions of what is ultimately what is right, anybody who tries to deviate from that, that will be the destiny for them. They will be disgraced, just like how Sukracharya was rejected. They will be in the wrong run. It may look like a temporary patch in which works well, but in long run there can never be a permanent solution if we do not accept the proper spiritual standards set by our spiritual authorities. So what did he change? He was telling Bali Maharaj not to fulfill his promise to Vamana Dev. And the thing that he should have told is just go ahead. You are going to lose all your kingdom. You are going to be sent to hell. He's going to put his foot and send you down to hell. You're going to lose everything. But that is the right thing. You know. So he changed that and told him not to follow. So in conclusion, one stops from worshipping Vishnu, that person is no more qualified to be an authority, and it is okay to reject such authority. But one should never give up the instructions of a spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master. You have to follow the instructions of your Guru Maharaj till the last dot. There is no greater perfection than that. And there is no greater danger than not following the instructions of your spiritual master. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji.
Krishna. What would have happened?
What would have happened if Sukracharya had told Bali Maharaj to keep up his promise? It would have been glorious for both of them, because Lord Vishnu anyways would be doing whatever he has intended to do. There's no way you can change what Vishnu has planned for. If Vishnu is deciding that he is going to take away everything from Bali Maharaj, that is what will happen. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Vishnu decided that this is what is Bali Maharaj's destiny, that will be his destiny. But if Sukracharya had instructed Bali Maharaj and strengthened his faith to follow those instructions, he would have also have been glorious. He would not have been the rejected guru of Bali Maharaj. He would have become equally glorious. Prabhuji in that
message. Hare Krishna Mate.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your wonderful class. I would like to ask you if you could kindly elaborate more about that point that you made about the Christian philosophy, where you explain at what time in history was it that they eliminated the concept of reincarnation, and also what you said about Calvinism, please.
What's the second point, Prabhu?
What you said about Calvinism.
Darwinism.
Darwinism.
Yeah. Okay. When I did my Bhakti Vaibhav, I decided to do my presentation on Darwinism and research on to make a presentation on how Darwinism is wrong. So every kind of analysis we do, there's a right brain and left brain analysis. The left brain analysis talks about what is wrong, how it is wrong, and so on. You know, so that part of the presentation is all about the things that are wrong in Darwinism. Not just based on scripture, even based on common sense, there were so many things wrong. Simple, pure cheating, you know, just following the four defects that human beings are prone to, you know. So that was the first part of the research. The second part of the research, which is the right brain analysis, actually deals with how, why things are wrong. So why did Darwin propose? Why did Darwin propose Darwinism? And why was church not able to defeat it? And I had the good fortune of talking to many, my husband is from Italy, so he has a relative who is professor of religion, retired. You know, so I had good fortune of talking to her and quite few devotees who were expert in the subject. And In nutshell, there is something called as the Nisian Creed, which was formulated to eliminate the idea of reincarnation. There are instances both in Old and New Testament where there is talk about reincarnation. Jesus and his followers are walking, and there is a blind man, you know. So one of the followers is asking, he's a good man and so are his parents, so why is he blind from birth? And Jesus Christ is saying, it is not because of the bad things he did in this birth. So that is an evidence that he is suffering the karma of bad things he did before. You know, and there is this instance that there are few. I'm not very. I can't recollect the number. At least 142,000 prophets are there. You know, so one of them is Elijah, and it is predicted in Bible that he will come again. So when there is John the Baptist. So when the followers of Jesus ask him, are you that Elijah? And that person says, no, I am not that. But Jesus Christ says, yes, you are that person. You know, so he is a prophet who reincarnated. So He was not able to recollect, but Jesus was able to reconnect it. You know, so there are many such instances, and for many years, almost for 200 years after the establishment of Christianity, people were, for to great extent, accepting. You know, if people, why would that conversation be there in Bible? You know, people don't, if you don't believe in reincarnation, you don't ask that question even. Are you that person? How can you ask? He is not that person. He is John. He is John the Baptist. He is not Elijah. So if people are asking that question in Bible, that means that concept existed there. So for almost 200 years, that concept was very much accepted, the concept of reincarnation. And reincarnation means you get a chance to progress slowly. You can build up your pious credit. So under educated class, there was a Christian theologian called Origen, and his teachings were accepted very widely at that time. And the concepts that he is speaking are very similar to the Vaishnava philosophy. Very, very similar. Many ideas are, you can Google it up, is the origin of Alexandria, you know, and the philosophy, the Christian theological concepts he presents are very similar, that the soul existed before entering into the material world, and there is a chance that a person can redeem himself and improve and evolve in consciousness by becoming a better person birth after birth. And many such ideas are there. Of course, there is some kind of impersonalism when they say that you could become one with God. There's also idea where they want to become like Jesus. They also could become son of God like Jesus. You know, so there were many things that were very similar to the philosophy that was followed by, accepted by Vaishnavas. But it was not really helping the church who were doing the crusade wars, you know. So it required immediate fruit. You know, somebody, you want to pack up someone and send them to do a war, especially like a prince with his whole army and all, then you have to give them something more than reincarnation. So they wanted to propose this idea that if you die fighting for God, you will be taken to God just in the next birth. You know, and that concept is not really wrong. But then that you fight for God and you go back to God is not a wrong concept. But what was wrong is that they removed that concept that you may have to come back again. You know, you may have to go to heaven and enjoy and then come back. You know, once that concept of reincarnation, then that's not a good deal. You know, why would, if I have to fight and die and go to enjoy temporarily and come back, what's the deal for me in that? You know, so they just said you will be there with the God forever, and then that became a shortcut process. So so Emperor Constantine was very much in favor of that. In spite of that, it took another 200 years to completely eradicate. There was what is called as the Fifth Council meeting, you know, where they separated Jesus to be somebody different from living entities. He is the begotten son, and we are the made children. So they made some kind of distinction between Jesus and us in terms of how we were made, and that also created a more gap. You can't become Jesus. You can't become like Jesus. You can't become son of God. You can't love God like him. And then the concept of Trinity, you know, God and Jesus are one. You can't be like them. So they put in so many things, tweaking it little bit, this side, that side, this side, that side, because they had an ulterior motive. They wanted to get back Jerusalem and all the opulence that came with it. Power and money and position. So little by little, they were thinking, what is the big deal? Let's tweak it this way, that way, that this way, that way. And ultimately, that 1 degree from 34 to 35 when it came to long run, the distance is so much. The conceptually, they've gone so further away from the original teachings of Jesus Christ. And it's like 1,500 years now that, of course, in modern days, people are looking back at the idea of Darwinism, the concepts presented by Origen, who was a great Christian scholar. You know, why was it rejected? And they are looking back and they can see that the church had modified many things, and as the result is simply people have become atheist. You know, in the textbook, what do we read? You know, God had 7 days to create. First day he created sky, then the water. You know, we don't study all that. The evolution theory, you know, for millions of years the DNA was tweaking itself, and then from aquatics you came into land beings, and then from insect you become a higher form and a beast and a person, you know. So the concept is God is out of picture, because what Darwinism talks about is evolution of physical body. And what spiritual life is all about, evolution of consciousness. And because they negated the concept of consciousness, they don't have anything to give us an answer to evolution of physical body. So, and Darwin himself was actually preparing to become a priest. And when he went on that voyage around the world, not fully around the world, but some parts of the world, his idea was that he's going around so that he can create appreciation for the creation of God. And he was very pious, and then there was death of his daughter, very dear child of him. And he had many questions. How was it right? How was God right in killing somebody who is so sweet like this child? And so on and so forth. And his constant association with the so-called scientists, that also caused a lot of doubt in his head. So he put things together, and it just became what is called as the Darwin's theory, that we don't have any spiritual origin, we are just evolution, we are just modified DNA. So the church has no answer for it, because you have effectively removed the reincarnation concept. There's no way you can evolve in consciousness if you don't have, you know, you could uplift yourself to some extent in one birth, but if the business is incomplete, then you should have another chance. And if you don't give that chance, then, you know, because that is removed, then now Darwinism is predominant and the church is forced to accept it in some form or another, you know. So that is the danger of trying to tweak the instructions of spiritual master, trying to escape that one dot in the instruction. Mataji, and then.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. My question is, Sukracharya, being able to foresee the future of Bali Maharaj, he was trying to stop, and he knows very well that it is going to happen. What will happen will happen. It will not stop for any cause, because it's the Supreme Lord who is acting on things. And even there was a sloka that he spoke, mantratas tantratas jitam, wherein he is glorifying that the Lord. So even after all, knowing all so many things, why didn't he stop? I mean, even after foreseeing the future, what will happen? He knows very well that Bali Maharaj will not stop for anything. So why did this negative aspect, or why did this negative thought surround him, even after knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
But that's the problem with karma kanda, you know. Your intelligence becomes multiple branched, bahushaka. You're not focused. Karma kanda, that is why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita rejects, you know, durena avaram karma. He just rejects this concept of karma kanda, because it makes your intelligence multi-branch. You can be the king, you can enjoy, you'll have fame, you'll have all these beautiful ladies serving you wine, you know, there's so many things you can enjoy. So your intelligence it gets thinned out. on all these many things. So because of spreading out of that intelligence, when you are a Vaishnava, when you are a devotee of Krishna, then there is just one interest, to please Krishna. But when you are a Karmakandi, he was not actually a Karmakandi, he was just officiating it, you know, he was just facilitating it. That's the danger of in any form accepting Karmakanda. You may not be a follower, but even if you are just officiating it, even if you are just approving it, that is the danger. You lose the intelligence. So in spite of knowing that Sukracharya, in spite of knowing that Vishnu will do what he wants, he was not able to hold himself, because he was officiating a Karmakandic process. He was helping Bali Maharaj become Indra. That was his task. If his task was to direct, if he had taken in his mind that his task is to direct Bali Maharaj to surrender to Vishnu, he would not have said that. But he, because took the shelter of Karmakandic activities, in spite of knowing wonderful position of Vishnu, he could not, the intelligence thinned out there. So devotees, it's a lesson for us that we should not, instead of Narasimha Dev and Prahlad Maharaj, if we would put also one small Ganesh there, the crowd will, we'll have crowd that will break the roof. People will come for Ganesh, Ganesh is like the god for Hindus. And Ganesh is a servant of Narasimha Dev. There's no harm in putting him by Narasimha Dev's lotus feet, or put a small altar for him. But we will never get into that Karmakandic activities, because it will make our intelligence multi-branched. Krishna warns us in Bhagavad Gita, don't do that. So in just not enough to know that Krishna is Supreme Lord, we have to apply it, we have to consciously practice it. And because he didn't do it, then he lost the game. That Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
You were discussing about checkmate and qualifications of a devotee, of a guru, mother and all that. So my question is, sometimes the guru gives instructions, initiation, and then he goes away. Most of the times he's not with us. So how do the devotees inspire them? How do the devotees inspire themselves to continue to remain honest, responsible and dutiful consistently and remain 100% Krishna conscious? Can you please answer?
Our spiritual master gives us an instruction, and because he is a follower of Srila Prabhupada, all the instructions he gives are going to be in line with Srila Prabhupada. And we are never far away from Prabhupada. The minute we take Bhagavatam in our hands, there we are with Prabhupada. So if spiritual master is not with us all the time, it's not practically possible, and even if he's not in this material world, if he disappears, the instructions that he gives are all in line with Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So when we take association of Srila Prabhupada's books, we actually get the strength to follow the instructions of our spiritual master. And ISKCON is not like a single acharya movement. We may not have our spiritual father, but we have so many of our spiritual uncles. We have nieces, nephews, and brothers and sisters, all on spiritual, on spiritual cousins, spiritual cousin, sister, brother, and all of them are in the same boat as you. They're all trying to do the same as you. It's like doing nirjal fasting from home and nirjal fasting in the temple. You have to cook and sabji and everything, and you are by yourself and you're trying to achieve spiritual perfection by your own strength. It is impossible. But when you are taking association of devotees, you are staying in temple, everybody is fasting, you are holding a water bottle, come on Mataji, give it up, they take it away from you. So you derive your strength by association with them. So the best way for anybody to remain fixed in the commitment to follow the instructions of the spiritual master is to always remain in the association of devotees who are exactly pursuing the same thing, following the instruction of the spiritual master. So if we remain in association, we are safe. You will get the strength to follow the instructions.
You mean to say reading Bhagavatam and doing the activities of devotional service like cooking, cleaning, distributing books and preaching and chanting without offenses. That will help.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that would be the instruction of our spiritual master. You know, that's what our Guru Maharaj, it's not just the process, but that is the goal also. The process is to do all of that, and what is the goal? The goal is also, you know, process is chanting, and the goal is to obtain perfect chanting, which leads to Krishna prema. You know, so the process and the goal are same in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, Mataji, sometimes there is no proper checks and balances. Somehow, you know, this is some situation with some devotees. So, how do they? Remain consistent.
How is it possible that there is no proper check and balance? If you are an association of devotees, they won't let you slip this way or that way. If you are alone and if you are trying to achieve perfection by your own strength, there is a chance that you will fall. There is 100% chance that you will fall down. But when you are with devotees in their association, it is not possible that you will fall down. You know, even if you slip, there will be somebody who will just, hey Prabhu, come on, you know, you don't chant, you don't sleep when you are chanting. There is somebody who will help you.
Yes, like Prabhupada said, that make the situation favorable to chant. Give them proper association. So sometimes these things are not there usually. So they should be in the association of devotees and chant without offenses. Is it?
Yes. Okay. Association of devotees and association of Srila Prabhupada's books. If you don't have a temple, if you don't have like big congregation where you can go and dance and chant and listen to katha, but at minimum if nothing is there, also Prabhupada is there. And nobody else might be with you, but Srila Prabhupada is there. Even if you open a tab, you know, e-book, all Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything. You don't need to have even the physical book, you know, just he is in your pocket. He is ready to give association the minute you are ready to take and open the tab. So
is that not dangerous? Because we are supposed to do Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees.
Yes, association is very important, but I am talking about when you are not able to, when you are in a situation where you are not able to have that association. For some reason or other, you don't have a temple or you don't have devotees, you are the only one. And you will preach and you will bring many more devotees who will give you the association. But the strength for all of that will come from Srila Prabhupada. So it's never a situation in devotees' life that we don't have association. Because Srila Prabhupada is there with us always. And as long as we are in touch with him through his books and instructions, we are never alone.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mata, thank you very much for the wonderful lecture. I'd like to know how to preserve or keep the Srila Prabhupada instruction in our society for the future, in the future, because you mentioned like in the past and other religions or even Sukracharya, they made a little change, but this little change made a huge consequence. So, thank you.
I am not sure if I am qualified to answer that question. How do we preserve the legacy of Srila Prabhupada? On individual level, we should constantly read Srila Prabhupada's books and listen to, be constantly in association of devotees, you know, and because they are sincere followers of Prabhupada, we will be able to get that, we will be able to imbibe that from them. But on an institutional level, it is something that is beyond my comprehension. I do not see that ISKCON will do that. I do not see that happening in ISKCON, that people, devotees will change instructions of Prabhupada. But as an institution, what can be done that it does not happen is something that's beyond my comprehension. Some devotees are willing to share some realizations or some thoughts on how it can be done. I'm sorry.
For the wonderful class, Mataji, I had a question. Like you said on detail about the first point.
We are saying Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in spite of him being a Uttama Adhikari, his movement fell apart. And Sukracharya, even though he was not a Uttama Adhikari, Bali Maharaj was successful. I think both are not right. What fell apart in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? You are here, you are family of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How can you say it's fallen apart? He gave the gem, Srila Prabhupada. You know how, if he was not successful, you would not have got Srila Prabhupada. He says, one person, if one person accepts Krishna consciousness seriously, then it is a success. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. Then that one person is there. Of course, there are many Krishnadas, Babaji, many, many exalted devotees are there. But Srila Prabhupada is most prominent of all the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So it is not true that the movement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has fallen apart. It's very much flourishing, in this, at least in this branch of his family, ISKCON branch. And Sukracharya, you're saying Bali Maharaj was successful, but Sukracharya gets no credit for it. He was rejected by Bali Maharaj. He was successful because he chose not to follow the instructions. So the example of Bali Maharaj is an exception to the rule that one should follow the instructions of spiritual master to the dot. He did not do that. So it is not that Sukracharya made Bali Maharaj. So he made Bali Maharaj successful in karma kandik way. He gave him life. He made him do yajnas that made him so powerful that he got the position of Indra without making any effort. He went to heavenly planet and he just went and sat there. Indra vanished from the picture. So on material level, he was successfully guiding him. But on spiritual level, he failed. And because he failed, and then it is not that... Uttama, we may not be Uttama Adhikaris, but if we are just for repeating the words of our spiritual master who is a Uttama Adhikari, then it gives the same effect. It's a transparent via media. If there is a glass, what is on that side, the person on this side can see. So the spiritual master is transparent via media. Whatever is the instructions of Krishna, he just transmits to the person. You don't have to. Prabhupada says the job of spiritual master is like a postmaster, you know, like 1 crore, somebody sends you a money order with some big money. You know, the postmaster gets it in his hand, he comes to your house and he delivers. There is no special qualification required for it. All you have to be is a transparent via media. Just to repeat the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and your Guru Maharaj. That's enough. And then it is success. And I think we put that as the success criteria. I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's movement is very, very successful. Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.